Here to talk NCAA basketball with us from Pac-12 Network, Fox Sports 1. Casey Jacobson, our guest here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Casey, how are you, man?
Dan and Vince, it's great to be on with you guys. I'm doing great, man. It's my birthday. I turned 38 years young.
Today. Happy birthday, Casey.
Thank you, guys.
What I wouldn't do to be 38
again.
Oh,
stop with that. Stop with that. All right, look at it. Handicap for us, ASU's chances. To me, Casey, for a team that was one of the last four in, this isn't the worst draw in the world for ASU to make some noise in this tournament, in my opinion.
No, not at all, guys. Remember last year, they got a terrible draw. They were an 11 seed playing game against Syracuse, whose zone just gobbled up Arizona State's guards. This year, it's kind of the opposite. St. John's, and I can talk all day about St. John's. I do most of my work for FS1, and we cover the Big East and the Pac-12. So I've seen St. John's play almost every game this season. They're a small team, very, very talented. Chris Mullen is in his fourth year, just like Bobby Hurley is in his fourth year, and they're both obviously fantastic players in their own right, but now coaching teams. And, you know, this is Chris Mullen, his first opportunity to coach in the NCAA tournament. None of these guys have NCAA tournament experience on his team. Mm-hmm. I mentioned they're small, so they play, they're very athletic, but they play kind of positionless basketball. Arizona State is going to have their hands full with Shamori Ponds. If you haven't seen him play at all, he's really good. A point guard who can score and assist. He's a left-handed. Their top three players are lefties. I don't know what that means, or I don't know how you want to consume that, but it is kind of interesting that their top three players are all left-handed shooters and scorers. To me, the key will be on the glass. So because St. John's is small, they rarely out-rebound their opponents. It was something that we constantly talked about when we were covering the Big East on Fox. If St. John's can compete on the glass, they usually win because they can control the tempo and they can get Shamori Ponds out in the open floor when they do that instead of taking the ball out of the net or giving up second-chance opportunities. When St. John's out-rebounded their opponents in the Big East Conference, which only happened 7 times, in 19 games, including their tournament games, they were undefeated. When they didn't, they got smoked. So including their last game that they played against Marquette, they got beat by 30. They got out-rebounded by almost 20. So keep your eye on that. And then I just can't wait to watch a matchup between Lou Dort on defense and Shamori Ponds on offense. It's
gonna
be fun.
Another one of those telling stats on St. John's, Casey, and I stumbled across this because people talk about St. John's, and as Shamori Ponds goes, so do the Red Storm. But when he shoots under 50% in a game, St. John's is 9-10. If he's over 50 or better, they're 12-1. And you just kind of hit on it. But what I think is a key for ASU is they got a couple different looks that they can provide to Shamori Ponds defensively. You mentioned Lou Dort, who's been really good defensively. Remy Martin, if he's up to health, like Bobby Hurley says he is, can be a pest defensively, too. Do you expect ASU to switch up their looks defensively on Ponds?
Yeah, no question. I think the best defensive teams, and this isn't just ASU, this is just kind of a rule in general, even at the NBA level. The best defensive teams can employ different guys, give good players different looks. If you give even the, you know, a really good player at any level, even against a good defender, the same guy, eventually he will solve that Rubik's Cube, right? Mm-hmm. But if you're constantly switching guards, then bigs, guys who have longer wingspans, guys who are more physical, if you're constantly doing that, you can keep a scorer at bay for 40 minutes. And that's going to be the challenge. But yes, to answer your question, I don't expect Lou Dort to be the only guy that guards Shamori Ponds. I just expect him to be the one who's kind of most capable of stopping him, I think, on any given possession.
Now, generally, Duke is sort of like a four-letter word in college basketball, Casey. Zion Williamson's kind of made him very watchable, very entertaining, and I'm not sure people want to see Duke get upset in the first round maybe as they would in the past. What's your take on Zion Williamson, just the impact he's going to have on this tournament, and just who he is as a player?
Yeah, sure, Dan. I mean, look, I agree with you. I think Duke is often hated just because of their excellence. I know of no person, at least in the last 3 months that I've met or talked to, that doesn't enjoy watching Zion Williamson play basketball. There's not a whole lot to dislike about the kid. Not only does he provide highlight material every night he plays, But guys, you've watched him. He plays hard. Mm-hmm. And not only does he play hard, he's a good teammate. And when you watch their games, you can tell he genuinely gets excited when other guys score or other guys perform. And even when he got hurt, he was on the bench cheering for his guys. And I don't know if we should like make a big deal about that. You know, you should be a good person. You should be a good teammate. But too often I see guys who aren't that. And so not only is he fantastic, not only could he shut it down, like they say, and be the number one pick in the draft without playing, he's like, nah, I'm healthy. I'm at Duke. I came here for a year to try and win a national title. And I'm so excited as a for what we do, right, as analysts of basketball, just to get an opportunity to watch him perform at the highest level. And make no mistake, Zion Williamson is going to go on and have a good, even a great NBA career if he can stay healthy. But having been through this before, I bet you unless he plays in game sevens in the NBA finals, there aren't going to be as big of a stage as he's about to perform on if Duke does what we think he's going to do. He's not going to play on a stage that big in the NBA. It just doesn't exist. There's not that many eyeballs in the NBA finals as there are in a Final Four. It's just a special event.
Casey Jacobson, our guest. He's a college basketball analyst for Pac-12 Network, Fox Sports 1. He joins us here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. You know, we touched on ASU, one of three teams, and a lot of people were shocked that three teams got in from the Pac-12. Oregon's playing well. Even as a 12 seed, I kind of like their matchup, the way they're playing against Wisconsin in the first round. The other team, Casey, Washington, they were in first place all year. They've got 26 wins, but even 34 games into their season, I have questions about how good Washington is. Do you have similar questions?
Sure. I mean, we've talked about this for a couple weeks now. So when they lost at Cal, I think that game was 2.5 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. It was kind of, I thought it was going to be a wake-up call for Washington. Like, okay, hey, we can be beat. Maybe we took our foot off the gas pedal, so to speak. It hasn't been that. It hasn't been a wake-up call. It's almost been an exposure. Offensively, they are pedestrian, and they have kind of been that for the majority of the season. They have their moments where they score 80 points or 75 points. But most of the time, because they don't have a true point guard, they're asking Jalen Noel, the Pac-12 Player of the Year, kind of to be the point guard and the shooting guard and their go-to guy at the end of the game. And he's not really a creator. He's a scorer, a very good one. But David Crist isn't a scorer either, isn't a point guard either. So because of that, their offense is predictable. Sometimes it's very slow in the half court. So I think it's their biggest weakness. But, you know, their defense hasn't been that great either.
Yeah.
But I still believe in it. I still do believe in their length. I still do believe that Matisse Thybulle is like they play Utah State in the first round. And Utah State's playing really good basketball. And they have a really good scorer named Sam Merrill, over 21 points a game. Sam Merrill has never played against a guy like Matisse Thybulle in his life. I can't wait to see if he can still drop 20 or 25 points because, you know, Matisse Thybulle is licking his chops trying to get at Sam this week.
All right, what people really want to know is what you can give them to help them fill out their bracket. So I'm curious if there are any if there are any absolutes you believe in the tournament. Seth Greenberg said, he said a couple interesting things. In that second game, be wary of teams that have unique systems like Syracuse's zone, for instance, because you don't have time to prepare for a team like that on the fly. I've always noticed you never know what you're going to get in dome games because it's such a different perspective for shooters. What do you know from playing in, watching the tournament, what really goes down on that level?
This is always an interesting question. Doing what we do, doing what I do, I'm constantly walking around, like dropping my kids off at school, and the parents are like, hey, man, help me fill out my bracket. I'm like, dude, I know I do this for a living, but I have absolutely no idea in one game scenarios. I don't know what's going to happen, right? And that's the beauty of this. That's why we love it. Here's what I do know. The favorite has to be Duke, okay? Like, I'm going to be genuinely shocked if Duke doesn't make a Final Four. They're probably the only team that I'll be shocked if they don't make a Final Four, unless something weird happens, unless they go through an injury or whatever. And I understand people are going to say, yeah, well, they've gone 2-for-21 from the three-point arc in some games. I understand that, but I still think they're the only team that I'm like, I'm pretty confident that they're going to win the East region, despite the fact that they might have to go through Michigan State. They're a better team than Michigan State. The other one that I'm confident is at least going to get to the Elite Eight this year is Virginia. I like their redemption tour. I like, you know, where they are as a basketball team. They're completely healthy right now. And I like the South, their South region. I'm not saying they're a lock to get to the Final Four because they have Tennessee as a two in their region. Mm-hmm. But to an Elite Eight, I'm really confident in Virginia. But to answer your question, like specifically, Dan, I don't have like any formulas. What I do look for are teams. I don't care if a team is hot or not. I really don't care about that because, like, Villanova last year won a national title and they lost in the Big East tournament. Okay, so to me, it doesn't matter if you're on a 5-6 game win streak. That is of no interest to me. Are you good enough or are you not? The big thing to keep an eye on are teams healthy? Do guys have a key player missing? I think that often plays a big role. Like a starter missing, right? Not necessarily a bench guy, but mm-hmm. if there's a starter missing, and then other like missed seeds. If you have been watching a team and you're like, why are they seeded so low? Those are teams that I don't know, for like a UC Irvine, for instance. UC Irvine should be a 12 seed. They are not. They're a 13, I believe. UC Irvine's a team that I have an emotional connection to. Their head coach is my good friend and my former coach at Stanford. But they're a team that I wouldn't be surprised at all if they win one or two games. They're well coached. They come from mid-major programs, so they're disrespected, but they know how to ball out. UC Irvine's been a program that has won year after year. It's not like a flash in the pan type of thing. So mm-hmm. they're a team that I'm predicting will go and actually win two games.
All right, Casey, before we let you go, last thing, and we appreciate your time, especially on your birthday and all. Pac-12 did not have a great year. They did not have a good showing in the tournament last year. All three teams that made the field lost their first game. They got three teams in. Nobody's higher than a 9. If you had to pick one team from the Pac-12 you think that's going to win a game or be the last team standing of that group of three, who would it be?
This is going to be funny. I'm picking Arizona State. Yeah. I'm confident they're going to win against St. John's. And you know, that's one game. Oregon, you mentioned it. Vince, I don't think that matchup is great. I think Oregon's good enough to win against Wisconsin, but I don't think that matchup is great. Because what does Oregon need to do? They need to force turnovers, right? And get out in the open floor and create there. Wisconsin's a team that really takes care of the basketball. They love a slower tempo. There's going to be less opportunities for Oregon to do what they've done the last month of the season against Wisconsin. And Ethan Happ's a heck of a player. Now, is Kenny Wooten really good and athletic? Yeah. But Ethan Happ has gotten buckets against every player I've basically watched him against. So that'll be a matchup to keep an eye on. I'm not picking Oregon over Wisconsin in that first game. So, and then Washington, I'm not sure about. I'm pretty sure that Arizona State's going to beat St. John. So I'm going to go with the Sun Devils on that pick.
You made a lot of people in the listening audience very happy with that, Casey.
Sure, no problem.